from WBUR Boston and NPR. I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Money laundering, racketeering, wire fraud, those were the charges, U.S. charges, as some of the world's top soccer officials were led away from a Zurich hotel early this morning. There's been a cloud over FIFA, soccer's international governing body, for years. Now, 14 indicted in an alleged $150 million corruption scandal. This hour on Point, foul play in the soccer world, and now, charges, American charges. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. What kind of ruling body is this? And if these charges are true, what's the matter with soccer? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining us now from Washington is Aruna Vishwanatha, lead writer in today's story, FIFA Rocked as U.S. Charges 14 in Corruption Investigation in the Wall Street Journal. She covers enforcement there. Aruna, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Soccer is international. Its headquarters is in Switzerland. Its biggest countries are not the United States. Why is the U.S. Department of Justice taking the lead on this?
Right, good question. Well, prosecutors in Brooklyn have been looking at some of these allegations for a long time, and they have jurisdiction because a lot of the money at issue went through the U.S. financial system. So payments were routed through accounts at New York banks, and that gives U.S. prosecutors jurisdiction over a lot of the conduct. I mean, and also some of the individuals that are charged as part of this case are executives from sports marketing firms based in Miami, and a lot of the conduct happened at least the meetings happened in Miami, and a lot of the payments flowed through the U.S. financial system, so that gives them jurisdiction.
Let's look at that piece, the sports marketing firms and payments there. Explain that for us, Aruna. What were the payments for? What were the sports marketing guys brokering?
Sure. So all of these soccer federations have pretty lucrative rights to the sponsorships for these various tournaments that they hold. And so they will contract with one sports marketing firm who will then hold the rights for a few years of tournaments and then contract out with the actual sponsors, Banco Santander, Toyota, whoever it is. They're sort of the middlemen that get the rights from the soccer bodies and then contract out with the companies themselves that are the sponsors. And so the allegations revolve around kickbacks, essentially, that these sports marketing firms paid to soccer officials in order to get those rights in the first place.
So does that mean that the sports marketing guys who are now part of this roundup were funnels? Is that the allegation? They were funneling money back to FIFA officials in Switzerland?
The allegations are more that they're the ones that are paying the bribes, not necessarily to FIFA officials in Switzerland, but to pretty high-ranking soccer officials in the United States and in South America, and these officials, some of these officials whom sit on the executive committee of FIFA.
Look, I guess I'm still curious about why it's the U.S. here. I mean, the big names in soccer, you know, Brazil or France or Germany or, you name it, it goes on and on. Why wouldn't they take the lead if the money is funneling ultimately back toward soccer heartland?
Right. I think U.S. prosecutors sort of got initial tips and cooperators and sort of had the experience to kind of build this case. It's such a massive case. I mean, this indictment is 160 pages. I've been covering criminal law enforcement for a while, and I've never seen a 160-page indictment.
Yeah.
And, you know, it involves 14 defendants. They list another 25 co-conspirators. So honestly, I think a prosecutor's office like the federal prosecutors in Brooklyn are one of the few that's, I think, even equipped around the world to conduct like this kind of broad, wide-ranging investigation. And also, to be clear, Swiss authorities have also launched their own separate investigation as well. But the sort of charges and arrests that are kind of the biggest headlines today are, of course, driven by
now, the Swiss charges, as I understand it, Aruna, go to the awarding of World Cup hosting to Russia and Qatar in the coming years. Is that where the Swiss are focused?
Yes, that's right. That's what they're focused on. And right now there is more an ongoing investigation, and I don't think they've yet filed any charges.
Loretta Lynch, she's now Attorney General of the United States, but she came from Brooklyn. Was this her baby? Was she working on this there?
Yeah, this investigation dates back to at least 2011, so she definitely oversaw it for a long time before she moved up to down to Washington. And so there does seem to be a bit of that sort of going back to see through her work.
Does this make sense as an allocation of American law enforcement resources? Is this a real and present danger to, justice in the USA?
Right. The Justice Department's view of this is that it affects a sport that's becoming increasingly popular in the United States. It affects a lot of money that should have been going to help youth soccer leagues in developing countries, and so they're sort of putting it forward as something that they think is in the United States' interest to pursue.
We've seen these images of top FIFA officials being kind of hustled out of this super luxurious hotel, and off they go. They will be extradited. So I guess these trials will be in the United States, but the lineup of the accused is very international. I mean, I don't know. These trials could be as big as the World Cup, Aruna.
That's true. I mean, there's a lot of a lot that has to happen before they actually get to trial, and they do have a number of guilty pleas already. So they may already have, you know, the evidence that needed to kind of convince a few more of the folks that have been arrested to plead guilty before they actually get to trial. So it was any actual trial, I think, is still sort of years away, and we'll have to see whether some of the arrested defendants actually just end up cooperating.
Aruna Viswanathan, she covers law enforcement at the Wall Street Journal, joining us from Washington today. Aruna, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Lead writer on today's story there, FIFA rocked as U.S. charges 14 in corruption investigation. And of course, overnight, or early morning, Switzerland, there were those arrests. Here's a press conference in Zurich, home of FIFA today. This is Walter De Gregorio, spokesperson for FIFA, saying, this is good for FIFA.
It's not good in terms of image. It's not going, good in terms of reputation, but in terms of cleaning up, in terms of everything what we did in the last 4 years, in terms of the reform process, this is good.
In terms of the reform process, this is good. Andrew Llewellyn joins us right now. He's a contributing soccer writer at ESPN, the magazine, and Grantland, former college soccer player himself. Andrew, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Is this like no news at all in the international soccer world? There have been so many stories over the years of glimmers of corruption and more. Is this just not news, or is it a earthquake because so many are arrested and indicted, charged?
Well, I think it's news because it actually happened. I mean, a lot of it has always been assumed that this has kind of been going on. I think the scale of it and the scope of it is probably larger than people expected. I guess I kind of think of it in terms of maybe the sort of doping in cycling, like with Lance Armstrong, for example, where people expected it was going on. But once sort of the reality strikes, it becomes a different story and you start to think about it in a different way. And obviously the scope of this is massive. And it also, as you've been pointing out, pretty interesting that the U.S. Department of Justice was sort of leading this investigation. Makes it kind of particularly intriguing to me because, as you've pointed out, soccer is not huge in the United States, and it's interesting that we've committed so many resources to furthering this investigation, get it to where it is now.
What do you make of that? I mean, to mix sports metaphors, is the U.S. for some reason the designated hitter here? Why isn't it Germany or somebody else doing this?
Well, it's hard to know. You know, I've worked with another reporting, worked with FBI agents and IRS agents and attorney generals. So it's hard to know exactly how these things got started. It sounds like we don't know that right now. And so there will be sort of a motivation. I don't know, might be sort of the banking, you know, the tie to American banking, which Aruna pointed out. So I'm curious as to sort of how the decision was made to put so many American resources to to investigating this. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just it is interesting. I can't say that U.S. is a designated hitter, but at the same time, it kind of comes out that way, that after 20 years, the United States has kind of now taken the lead in actually cracking the reality of what's been going on at FIFA for several decades now.
You got a half dozen of their top board members, I guess, here, and yet the FIFA president, who's up for re-election this week, says there's no way he's standing down. He's going for a fifth term. I mean, it looks absolutely riddled with corruption, if you believe these charges. And I mean, this seems like pretty enormous chutzpah to say, no, I'm not stepping down. No problem here. In fact, this is just what we want.
Yeah. Well, I think that is pretty characteristic of Sepp Blatter. I mean, he is kind of often referred to as the most powerful man in sports. He has a huge ego. He doesn't really think he can be touched by anything. And so, you know, he has a way of sort of turning things like this into sometimes he says strange things about them. Sometimes he distorts them. So that's kind of very fitting with his character and how he talks about things, to say, well, no, this is okay. Or, you know, this is, everything's going to be okay. Or this is what we need. I mean, that's kind of how he is. But in reality, you know, he's obviously as the top man at FIFA, driving this in some way, and it hasn't, I guess, exactly touched him the way it's touched these other executives in the organization.
Well, no charges against him here, but hard to picture how someone who's been in charge, been at the top for so long, would not smell a giant money machine right under his feet and all around him if these charges are accurate. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. We're talking this hour about the shocker in the world of soccer, today's startling wave of arrests of top officials of FIFA, the world soccer governing body, and more on U.S. charges of corruption, big-time corruption. Of course, soccer has been the butt of jokes for a long time now. Russia and Qatar got the upcoming World Cup nod not so long ago, and here was HBO's John Oliver, host of Last Week Tonight. This was commenting on Qatar hosting the World Cup in 2022.
There are now allegations that some FIFA executives took bribes to put the World Cup in Qatar, and I hope that's true, because otherwise it makes literally no sense. And not just because of the weather, but because of the working conditions.
Why Qatar? Maybe money. At the press conference today in Zurich, where FIFA was trying to deal with all this, here again is Walter De Gregorio, spokesperson there, saying, well, FIFA itself is looking into all this.
FIFA initiated this process on November 18 last year. FIFA lodged a legal complaint with the federal attorney. And as you all know, it had to do with the attribution of the World Cups 2018 and 2022.
2018 and 2022, i.e. Russia and Qatar. Andrew Llewellyn is with us from Los Angeles, contributing soccer editor at ESPN the magazine and at Grantland. Andrew, please stand by in L.A. With us right now from Rio in Brazil, Tariq Panja joins us. He's a sports writer, covers FIFA for Bloomberg News. Of course, Brazil just had the World Cup last year. Tariq Panja, thank you very much for being with us.
Pleasure.
14 is a lot of people. Can you walk us through some of the charges here and who's accused of what, Tariq?
Well, there is charges against FIFA and FIFA officials and football officials, and there's charges against marketing company officials, and there are people who have already pleaded guilty. And these charges are sweeping charges dating back as long as 24 years of wrongdoing and malfeasance, wire fraud. There's RICO charges in there. There's money laundering. You name it. It's the witch's brew of what not to do in the world of corruption.
24 years, the number $150 million of corruption is floating around here. That's a long time and a lot of money. It will say to most people that there must have been huge flashing lights just everywhere for a long time that money was a problem here. Corruption.
Yeah, Yeah, well, it's sort of to go back to something that you said at the start of the segment. What does it say about the world we live in today? You've got to understand that FIFA is not an American organization. It's not even a Swiss organization. FIFA is an organization that's based in Switzerland but has its membership from all corners of the world, and that means it has to deal with business practices that are the norm in different parts of the world. You're calling me here in Brazil, mm-hmm. Where we've got one of the biggest corruption scandals in the nation's history involving the state energy giant Petrobras, involving billions of dollars in kickbacks to politicians and construction companies. But you ask a local in the street and they'll shrug their shoulder here and say, well, you know, this is Brazil, this is how we do business. And what I'm seeing in a lot of what's come out this morning is a lot of that type of culture.
I'm looking down here at the list of those facing charges now, American charges, and they're, you know, people here, yes, out of the United States, but also Argentina, Venezuela, Costa Rica, Cayman Islands, of course. You have to stash all that money somewhere, I guess. What's your sense, Tariq, of why this is the United States Department of Justice taking the lead on this and not a major soccer nation?
Well, you could argue, and FIFA does argue, that the United States now is a major soccer nation because a lot of the money comes from the USA. We've got a lot of the big sponsors are in the US. We've got Fox and ESPN fighting over TV rights. But again, I wonder if this is to do with the fact that the United States was bidding and was a firm favorite to get the 2022 World Cup that mysteriously went to Qatar. Bill Clinton was part of that campaign team, as were several other big hitters. The U.S. had its nose blooded, and I guess it didn't like that. Plus, you've got a lot of big U.S. banks apparently involved in transferring some of this illicit cash.
Here's the FIFA spokesman again saying that there will be no change in the venues for 2018 and 2022. It will be Russia and Qatar.
Russia and Qatar will be played. This is what is fact today. And I don't go into speculation what will happen tomorrow, after tomorrow, and so on. This is what I can tell you. Not more and not less.
Is there any chance, Andrew, that in this realm, those designations would ever be withdrawn? That they'd say, oh, sorry, Russia, you know, there's corruption in this decision. No, we take it back. It's going to be in L.A. or somewhere.
It sounds pretty unlikely for Russia 2018, and it has also sounded pretty unlikely for Qatar. I think, you know, I mean, Russia, given that it's only 3 years away in particular, yep. Qatar is the one because it is most closely associated with sort of this corruption and potential bribery and all these things going on seems more likely. It's always been a big question mark as to why they were awarded the World Cup. And even just in March, FIFA announced that they were moving the World Cup for 2022 into November, December, with the final being on December 18th, which is obviously the first time that has happened.
Because it's just too hot to play soccer in Qatar in a full-on summer.
Exactly. It's just too hot. And so it'll be really interesting to see what happens with Qatar. And Russia, I think I would be really surprised if that changes. But Qatar, I mean, because it is kind of at the center of this, you know, it might change. And it, in any case, it'll be very intriguing to find how things kind of shake out with it.
Fascinating to imagine, as Tariq says, out of Rio, that this could be a little bit of the long memory of the United States feeling stung by not getting a World Cup. Let's go to our listeners, Charlie in Detroit, Michigan. Charlie, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Sure. Hi. To me, it's no surprise. In this day and age, and maybe even going back to 1919, the bigger a sport gets, the more money there's involved, the more corruption there is. I mean, it's the same in cycling. It's the same here in the NFL. No surprise they're not prosecuting FIFA in one of the big soccer countries. Why would they? It's too popular. They're not going to kill the goose that laid the golden egg. I mean, why don't we prosecute NFL here? There's just as much corruption, in my opinion, with that. But, you know, it's a cash cow. You wouldn't hear of it. It's our national sport.
Well, Charlie, we've got Deflategate, but that seems like small potatoes next to this many, many years of corruption. Tariq, there's a challenge from a listener who says, you know, he's just not buying it. He thinks, yeah, there's money connections here. Yes, it's soccer is becoming more popular in the U.S., but Sacred Cow in the traditional soccer homeland, they wouldn't go after FIFA.
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, the allegations are pretty serious as well. So, you know, you're talking about, we went through some of those charges earlier. This, I think, also stemmed from CONCACAF, the regional body's own bloody change at the top in 2011 when investigators went in there and found that this organization had never paid any income tax in the United States, based in New York, with millions of dollars swirling around. I think that disgusted some officials, and the closer they looked, the more and more murk they found, and this investigation may have mushroomed out of that. You know, they've got the wherewithal. They've got the political capital in the sense that, hey, we've been absolutely sold a lie that this voting process was going to be a fair one. Why should we not go after these people now? What has the United States got to lose?
What has it got to lose? I mean, it's going to be a big, long, difficult prosecution, I guess, unless they flip enough people here. They're already flipping some, and maybe they'll just rat out each other. But it's a lot of money. It's a lot of time to go back through. And the U.S. now very deeply in it. Tariq Panja with Bloomberg News covering soccer out of Rio today. Thanks very much for joining us, Tariq.
Thank you.
Back when Russia and Qatar got those 2018 and 2022 World Cup designations, there was already all kinds of reports that were out there. Sunday Times reporters posed as American lobbyists. They secretly videotaped two executive council members from FIFA, from Tahiti and from Nigeria, demanding hundreds of thousands of dollars. A reporter for The Telegraph confronted now former FIFA Executive Committee Vice President Jack Warner at his Trinidad office. This was March of 2014, just a year and change ago, when it was brought out that he apparently accepted bribes from a Qatari firm in the 2022 Qatar World Cup. Here's some of that exchange.
We've seen some documents that suggest you received $1.2 million from a company owned by Mohammed bin Hammam. We just wondered if you could explain what these payments were.
Ma'am, that's not please.
So we'd like to give him the chance to comment. Mr. Warner, did the payments influence the way you voted in the World Cup bid?
Not pretty questions, but today it's real charges and extradition facing a whole lot of people to the United States. With us right now from Berkeley, California, is Paul Kennedy, editor-in-chief and general manager of Soccer America. Paul, thanks very much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
What do you make of this overnight raid in Switzerland, all these big headlines, and the fact that it's the U.S., the point of the spear here?
In some ways, it was not unexpected. For a long time now, we knew that the FBI had Chuck Blazer, one of the most powerful men in FIFA, an American who had been in a lot of trouble for tax evasion, and that he knew a lot. He was very close to everybody. And so at some point, it was expected something would happen. Even last week, there was talk of question of why did Sepp Blatter, the president of FIFA, not come to the United States? He hadn't been here for 4 years.
Huh.
And the talk was, well, he was afraid he was going to get nabbed when he came here. And sure enough, he didn't get nabbed today, but a lot of people around him did, and some big surprises, too.
Does it seem like overdue scrutiny here from law enforcement, or does it look like the U.S. Beating up on a game that, while it's mounting in popularity here, is not exactly a Central American pastime?
It is, soccer, like a lot of sports, has come into a lot of money because television is means there's a lot of money to be made from television rights. And over the last two decades, there were a lot of people around the world taking advantage of that and going about cutting deals, which meant that they were probably getting some money that they shouldn't. And it was something that in the United States, you know, we have pretty clear laws against bribery, pretty clear laws against what corporate board members should do in terms of conflicts of interest. And a lot of those rules of corporate governance do not exist around the world, and soccer's paying that price.
Some big loopholes and people ready to drive right through them with a handout, apparently. Here, Peter in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Peter, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yes, hi Tom. Hello, hi. Everybody. You know, I'm very worried about this, actually, situation arrest, because I'm Russian. I used to play soccer. It's a beautiful game, and unfortunately, money involved of everything right now. But 2018, Russia supposed to have this event, World Cup, and I think I tell you, I don't criticize me whatever you want to do, but that doesn't matter. I think it's conspiracy because U.S. I feel like we feel a lot of Russians there want to spoil this event because they're, no, probably because of the Ukraine. And I remember 1980 Olympic Games in Russia was spoiled, completely boycotted. This latest Winter Olympic Games in Sochi was also attacked. Something with gay. I even don't understand what's going on, but clear attempt for me, spoil event. If Russians happy, you are not happy. It's what my point. I'm sorry. And I'm worried U.S. will attack this 2018 World Cup.
Peter, we've got it. Yeah, you see a conspiracy here by the U.S. to spoil Russia's games in 2018. Of course, the U.S. boycotted back in 1980 because Russia was in Afghanistan. Imagine a superpower going into Afghanistan. I don't know. Andrew Llewellyn, you hear our former Russian soccer player there feeling besieged. American revenge for Ukraine here.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's interesting because Qatar, as I said, is sort of at center, more pointedly, of the corruption. But I think it's a good point that obviously the relations between Russia and the United States are the more sort of prominent kind of international affairs going on. And so I think it's a fair, you know, from the standpoint of somebody who is Russian, I think it's a fair perspective to have. There's ongoing conflict, you know, serious conflict between the United States and Russia. There's different laws that have been passed by Russia to kind of boycott certain issues with the United States. I know I think several years ago there was even laws changed about sort of the adoption of children. So there's obviously a very strong history, and I don't know that it's the necessary conspiracy, but I think it would be fair from the Russian point of view to feel like, you know, this is the Americans attacking Russia, whereas at the same time I think the United States would have kind of the opposite fear that there might be some corruption on the part of Russia. And that's just kind of the history that exists between our two countries, and unfortunately has not really changed over the past few years. So it's understandable. I'm not sure how accurate it is, but it is understandable.
Paul, in the realm of imagination to you, that this is statecraft at work here in addition to law enforcement or, you know, big countries butting heads?
I don't believe that U.S., State Department or the White House really are worrying about soccer and politics that much. You know, there's a lot more going on in this world right now of greater concern. But in other parts of the world where soccer is such a big part of life, they can see those conspiracy theories come about much more evidently. And soccer has always had a great history of having, you know, the conspiracy theories of World Cups and who's going to organize it and why, even going back to, you know, when the U.S. organized it in 1994, you know, when we followed that story, you know, people wondered that things were going on to give it to the United States. And there was certain truth to it that, in that case, FIFA wanted to develop a market here for monetary reasons, and they did a good job of it.
Can you imagine that the president for how many years now, Sepp Blatter, for years and years, would be unaware of this level of corruption? Is it inevitable that he was sort of sanctioning it?
Yes, he knew it in terms of some of the deals that took place, meaning Jack Warner, who's at the center of all that's going on today, with his two sons who were arrested for money laundering in Florida, and were along with Chuck Blazer, you know, some of the key men the FBI had, you know. FIFA, which was Blatter, had given the TV rights of the Caribbean to Jack Warner for $1. That just doesn't make sense. And the point was is that meant that for years and years, Sepp Blatter knew he had the 30 or 35 votes from Papa Cuff, which Jack Warner ran, in his back pocket.
Huh.
Hi, everybody. Tom here. I'm glad you're joining us for this On Point podcast. Before we get back to the show, I'd like to tell you about another podcast you might enjoy, too, Dear Sugar Radio. Join hosts Cheryl Strayed and Steve Almond as they field questions about love, sex, work, guilt, money, you name it. That's Dear Sugar Radio. You can find it at wbur.org/Dear Sugar or subscribe on iTunes. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the shocker in the world of soccer. Today's startling wave of arrests of top officials of FIFA, the world soccer ruling body, and more on American charges of corruption, and pretty big-time corruption. Andrew Llewellyn is with us from Los Angeles, contributing writer at ESPN, the magazine, and Grantland on soccer. Paul Kennedy's with us, editor-in-chief, general manager at Soccer America out of Berkeley, California today. Lots of response online here. We've got what Kevin says, FIFA's super corrupt and Sepp Blatter, the biggest crook of all. I'm not shocked by the charges as a soccer fan. I guess nobody's shocked by the charges exactly. It's just so many and a big sweep here. Michael says, and yet the DOJ refuses to bring criminal charges against bankers. Deutsche Bank caught falsifying financial reports, fixing LIBOR, FX fraud, settle for a slap on the wrist. If money is a slap, maybe it is for them. And little Schadenfreude here from SD says, and the Swiss fancy themselves so pure and not corrupt. The irony of all this being managed by the Swiss, i.e. Blatter, is delicious. Barbara in Story City, Iowa. You're on the air, Barbara.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm very proud of our country. I'll probably get emotional telling you because I feel like this is transformative. I feel like what our country has done is to probably join with other countries around a subject that affects at least four generations.
Barbara, I mean, I can get emotional about things too, but soccer charges? Why?
Because, Tom,
yeah,
we have demonstrated rule of law to the entire world. We have shown America's strength in a way that doesn't mean putting veterans and losing them to die.
I'm all for that. I feel like I should bring up the Star Spangled Banner here. Paul Kennedy, is your chest swelling with national pride today? The U.S., beacon of justice globally?
That is not the first thing that comes to mind today. I think it's, like you referred to it, it was a pretty easy case for the DOJ to do in that you had guys who weren't very smart in how they were handling their money. And they got caught, and it was something that they can make a big splash about, and it was something that, there were television cameras there waiting for them to watch these guys try to get out the door, and so it's good theater.
I wonder how the world will respond to the theater, though, as all this goes on. I mean, here's a little bit. This is the manager of Arsenal, the big soccer club, in a press conference saying that if FIFA officials were guilty, they should be brought to justice, but cautioning against condemning before all the facts were known. This is Arsene Wenger.
Usually, the justice timing is much longer than the media timing, and sometimes, of course, that creates people convicted too quickly before the justice has done the job.
Andrew Llewellyn, what's your sense globally of whether we'll see people rallying behind this prosecution or wondering what's the U.S. doing in the middle of all this?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that there will probably be some rallying. I mean, I think, the corruption in the sport has gone on for a long time, and the difficulty, obviously, is it's not a domestic league in one country like the NFL or the NBA or whatever. It's a so-called nonprofit organization that's a global entity. And so you're dealing with, dozens and dozens of countries all throughout the world. There's a huge match fixing scandal that broke, about, I guess it was 3 years ago now. And Brett Forrest wrote a book called The Big Fix, which goes into the details of that pretty specifically. So I think that people want to see changes in obviously sort of the reduction of corruption. At the same time, I think the it depends how much that corruption is actually going to affect their enjoyment of the game. So I think that's kind of interesting about this. So we're talking about where the World Cup is, but how does this investigation actually affect how the game is played on the field is sort of the bigger question. And the impact of that is, you know, I don't know that it's going to have a massive one. I mean, I think, you know, there's been sort of the issue of the goal line technology. A more pressing one is that, you know, FIFA, all the fields at the Women's World Cup this summer will be played on artificial turf. Well, I mean, it'll be field turf. And FIFA's really stood by their position that they want to do that. And many, you know, international women's players filed a lawsuit against FIFA. And so that was an incident of where this kind of attitude of FIFA and potential corruption, you know, was actually playing out on the field. But it'd be interesting to see what actual impact this has on the game and how it's played, and particularly amongst, you know, the better and wealthier nations in the world. I don't know that it will have that much of an impact, but it'll be interesting to see.
Goal line technology you're talking about, to see if anybody crosses the line there?
To see if the ball has crossed the goal line in the goal, to see if there's been a goal. So it took years for that to come about. There's the issue of, you know, concussions last summer in the World Cup. There, mm-hmm. I don't know, half a dozen concussions that weren't treated very well. There's the field turf. So how much it actually affects, you know, how the game is played. And I think that's sort of the difficulty with any kind of sports governing body. Take the NFL. It's one thing when you're talking about concussions on the field. It's another thing when you're talking about issues off the field. That they have an impact on that, but how does it actually affect sort of the game that's being played and how people are watching it and viewing it and enjoying it?
Paul Kennedy, you know, everybody's kind of known in an ambient way for a long time that there was a bunch of shenanigans here, and yet the passion for the game, the thirst for it at World Cup time, just always pins the needle. Maybe soccer fans don't care.
I think that at the end of the day, they don't care, and that in many countries they see corruption more evident in their lives every day. That it's just there, and I think for soccer the only issue is that the corruption has been going on so long that FIFA has been operated by crisis management, you know, for 4 or 5 years now, so that when soccer or FIFA can do a lot of good in this world, with all the money they have and all the popularity of the sport they have to have some influence, they haven't been able to do that because they've been putting out these fires with all these scandals going on for years. And you used the example of the, you know, which is a small thing, but still, you know, the turf of the fields in Canada. That is something that needed to have been addressed 2 or 3 years ago.
What are we talking about there? Whether it should be artificial or grass? Is that it, or something else?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's something that if FIFA and the women's teams and the women's players and the representatives had discussed that 2 or 3 years ago, it could have been resolved. But FIFA was fighting all these battles over how to organize Brazil World Cup, and that goes back to they were fighting all these battles over, you know, the Qatar and Russia elections of 2010.
I'm starting to feel a little bit more of Barbara's emotion here. I mean, you don't want to see giant globe-straddling institutions, which are corrupt. Everybody knows it, and we just roll on and come to accept it. Maybe that gets cracked here. Pramod in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Pramod, you're on the air. Hello, Pramod. You're on. Oh, lost him. Nathan in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Nathan, thank you for calling. You're on.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Yes.
I think Barbara was pretty fervent with her patriotism, but I see a point there. I've been in soccer since the early 70s, and the United States back never cared about it, and I don't think the U.S. benefited and made that much of a profit from the sport, and their involvement with FIFA has probably been pretty frustrating. But there's a socioeconomic side to this that you can talk about soccer all day long, but what's really going on is FIFA is reinforcing a kind of a money grab that leaves a lot of very poor people in basically slave conditions, and Qatar is blowing up, and I think this was a great thing to do. I think it says a lot about social justice, and quite frankly, I'm very proud to see it happening, and not in the least bit surprised.
But you're talking about the construction workers in Qatar. There's been a lot of attention paid here to the conditions in which they're working. Just recently, a BBC team went out to be shown some model homes from them, but then veered off the official course and saw really rough conditions. But this isn't going to that, at least not so far. You've got FIFA saying, no, this is going to stay right in Qatar, Nathan.
Well, I know, and I don't think it's actually important that it becomes specific to that. I think when you open up a can of worms like this can of worms, and I think that most people recognize the bladders at the head of all this, and I'm assuming they're going to do the normal let's flip a few people who don't want to go to jail because they didn't want to live with the consequences. Regardless of where it goes, anytime you turn over a rock and find the things that are scary under the rock, you've made an improvement.
Yeah, we'll see how long he can stay there at the head. Swiss paper calling him the Dark Prince of football. But the FIFA spokesman here, De Gregorio, saying probably not going anywhere, talking about Sepp Blatter, the president of FIFA. He's up for re-election, well, this week.
Here's the president, and in 2 days there are elections. If the 209 members association, they will re-elect him, then he is the president for the next 4 years.
Yeah, no problem here. Aaron in Norman, Oklahoma. Aaron, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi. I just wanted to comment on why the United States would take the lead on this. I think that because soccer is still a relatively small sport here, and it gives us the opportunity to sort of lay the groundwork for international soccer as pertains to our country while the sport is still ascendant. And, you know, I think if you look for corollaries, you know, a country like Germany or the United Kingdom going after FIFA would be like the state of Alabama suing the NCAA and saying that, you know, it's a giant corrupt organization, which I think would be a very difficult thing for Alabama to do, and similarly for, you know, Germany or one of those other European powerhouses.
I take your point, Aaron, but I wonder, Andrew, if the U.S. has the leverage, even with this kind of big indictment, to really clean up soccer globally. I mean, as big as we are, that seems like a tall order.
Yeah, I don't know if they have the leverage to clean up soccer globally. I mean, part of it is it's very complicated because I guess my own personal view is that changes often come kind of from the bottom up. And so when you think about it, you know, the most popular soccer that we see is professional European leagues, which are running very efficiently, sort of kind of, you know, with involvement of actually sort of out of the context of FIFA. And then you've got all the national teams and sort of the global sport. So it'll be interesting to see what actually happens with it. And I think it'll be more, you know, I think it sounds like, as I've heard this, I mean, I think it sounds like, you know, going back to sort of the United States, it was down to the United States and Qatar for that, the 2022 World Cup and Qatar won. And it might just be that, you know, that sort of pissed off the wrong people. And the reality is that the United States, I think to Barbara's point, has the resources, the infrastructure and the expertise to conduct these investigations extremely efficiently, particularly once the IRS is involved. And it sounds like that is what happened. I don't know. And then it'll be interesting to see sort of what, when we talk about cleaning up soccer, what actually will be cleaned up. I mean, I think that's kind of, you know, in FIFA's defense, I'll say, is that, you know, there's the European countries which are organized and sort of running things fairly efficiently. But then as the sport spreads throughout the globe, I think that's where the corruption really has come into play. And the United States does sort of stand outside of that in a certain context. I don't know if it's similar to Alabama going after the NCAA, but it is different than Germany doing it. And so we kind of stand on the outside. You know, if there was enough sort of frustration amongst the right people about losing that bid, because the United States is one of the few countries that can really effectively run a World Cup and make good money off of it. You know, it might have just been angering the wrong people and they decided to do something about it. Again, whether it's going to clean up the sport throughout the world, is a really big question mark, but we'll have to see.
Not everybody's happy about the U.S. putting its emphasis here. Susie writes to us, it's so good the U.S. Department of Justice is so worried about important things like soccer and knows enough to deprioritize unimportant things like torture sanctioned by the U.S. or financial corporations that have sent U.S. citizens careening into poverty. She's not so happy. But the Attorney General, I've got some tape here of Loretta Lynch this morning talking about this unsealing of the charges. Bringing wrongdoers to justice, she says.
They were expected to uphold the rules that keep soccer honest and to protect the integrity of the game. Instead, they corrupted the business of worldwide soccer to serve their interests and to enrich themselves. This Department of Justice is determined to end these practices, to root out corruption, and to bring wrongdoers to justice.
U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch today, this morning, Sepp Blatter, the president of FIFA for years and years, up for election again this week, being challenged by Prince Ali bin Al Hussein of Jordan, who's saying today we cannot continue the crisis in FIFA. Paul, what do you think about these charges that the Swiss are bringing on the giving of the 2018 and 2022 games to Russia and Qatar? This, FIFA says they're not going to roll back those designations, that hosting. So what comes out of that?
I think this is FIFA's way of saying, look, we looked into this. This investigation by the Swiss Attorney General's office was at the request of FIFA, based upon what the reports that they had done to look into the...
Meaning they found evidence of wrongdoing, or they just couldn't get to the...
What they say was wrongdoing, not wrongdoing enough to take the World Cups away, but wrongdoing enough that that certain people should perhaps be charged with crimes, in the process. But you know, it's their way of saying, look, we looked into this, but it's not worth taking away. And there were any number of accusations of serious corruption in the case, and very early on it was quashed. And it's a type of case that at the end of the day is going to be very hard to prove, unlike they had here with a few people who the FBI was able to turn.
Andrew, what do you think? As of today, with these charges out there, soccer's future, does it look better, cleaned up and shined up somewhere down the road after we get through all this muck?
I'll give it a big maybe.
A big fat maybe for global soccer. It's going to be very interesting as all the details in these cases come out, learn something about the way the world works, and maybe change it, maybe turn it. That would be awesome. Andrew Llewellyn with ESPN, the magazine, and Grantland joining us today from Los Angeles. Thank you so much, Andrew. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Tom. I appreciate it.
And Paul Kennedy, editor-in-chief of Soccer America, with us today from Berkeley, California. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Tom.
Listeners, you can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Easy to grab it right there. Check it out. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm on Twitter at Tom Ashbrook, NPR. Thanks for joining us today. This is On Point.